My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
To the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
Oh, God. And that coincided a top three walk out of a stadium, as depressed as I've ever been in my sports fandom. No doubt about it.
What are the other two?
Niners play the Chiefs this week. Bonte Hill is out. Sam Lubman is in. Bonte's a little under the weather. And we got Carrington Harrison joining us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear to you on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And Carrington, you are a host at our sister station in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan, and you have not heard this promo from what my boss told me. You guys are running this promo all week, and I'm going to play it for you, and then I want you to react to it. Here's the promo 96.5 is running this week.
Remember when an NFL coach who wears a flat-brimmed hat decided to receive the ball to start overtime and then went limp and kicked a field goal after already losing a Super Bowl 4 years earlier to the same team? Yeah, us too.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! McCole Hardman! McCole Hardman!
Chiefs and Niners, Sunday at 3:25. Right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Carrington, River Islands guest line, what do you think of that promo?
I guess I have two thoughts. Number one, I don't know why you left the stadium disappointed. You should be used to losing to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's something that you guys have done so many times over the course of the last four seasons. This should be second nature. And I didn't hear anything factually inaccurate in the promo. We got to get back to the point where we just accept facts is facts. And somewhere over the last 8 years, we started arguing against facts. We can debate opinions. I love opinions. We can't debate facts. Choosing to receive the ball first in overtime is dumb. There is no logic behind it. You cannot, oh, well, the math says no. The math says that you're wrong. It was the wrong decision then. It's the wrong decision now. The Chiefs haven't lost since beating San Francisco. You guys have been doing all the losing over the course of the first month of the season. I'm happy to be on today.
I hate you, bro. I mean, I thought I hated Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid more than anyone currently. You might be coming into the top three at some point because I don't have much of a rebuttal, which sucks. And I'm going to sound like a whiner if I bring up anything other than, yeah, we got beat twice and we had double-digit leads in each one of those games and we completely fell flat on our face. I'm at the stadium. I'm watching the game in the overtime. And I turned before overtime and I said to Bonte, we're lucky they're only getting a field goal here right before the end of regulation. That's number one. They knocked him, I think it was Kelsey, out at like the 2 or 3 yard line. He could have scored a touchdown there. And then when they had the ball, I said, all right, well, since we have the ball, you have to get 6, aka 7. You cannot kick a field goal because they're going to have 4 chances all the way down the field knowing what they need in their back pocket. You have to get the touchdown. And he's like, well, but if you don't get it and then all they need is a field goal, it's like, bro, the game is over regardless. Like, I don't know. The whole overtime sequence is just a nightmare. I don't even have a question. I hate you guys a lot.
No, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. It's just the whole logic behind it. I mean, I think Kyle Shanahan is one of the 3 best coaches in the NFL, but he has just had a very questionable history in the Super Bowl. We don't have to go all the way back to the beginning of his Super Bowl history. And I do want to point out, you mentioned the 2 times in the Super Bowl, the last time Kansas City came to San Francisco, they smoked you guys. They just own you guys. Like, you guys are owned by the York family. No, you guys are owned by the Mahomes family.
Oh, God, man. Just doing some drive-bys here, Carrington. This is brutal on a Monday morning. Maybe I got to ask, I mean, obviously, Niner fans out here, there's an obsession with the Chiefs and the Chiefs fan base. I'm kind of curious, on the flip side, though, how much do the Chiefs and Chiefs fans think about the Niners at all? Are we occupying any sort of real estate in the mindset of Chiefs fans right now?
No, not really. But, I mean, that's not a disrespect towards San Francisco. They're just not in the AFC, where a lot of the thoughts with Chiefs fans are centered around Buffalo and Baltimore because you have to go through them to go to the Super Bowl. There's a little bit of kind of Houston hive, I would say, but I always argue on my show, like, the only reason the Chiefs fans feel that way about Houston is we've never seen Houston fail. Well, we've seen Buffalo fail in big moments. We've seen Baltimore fail in those big moments, Cincinnati. We've never seen Houston fail. Now, good team. I'm excited to see what they can do in January, but just a lot of the conversation with Chiefs fans is just directed towards teams in the AFC, not the Niners in the NFC.
Yeah, it's so difficult for Niner fans. Like, for me, for example, I'm a Fincher Nation City boy. I grew up near Candlestick. I love this team, and I always think about the way a Cincinnati Bengal fan views Joe Montana and Bill Walsh. They lost 2 Super Bowls to those guys. 2, and they were in both those games. And could make an argument they could have won both of those games. Their goal line stand in 81, and obviously the 2-minute drive by Joe. And I just... there's no rebuttal. Like, as much as I hate you guys and I hate Mahomes, I respect him so much because he's that good. Andy's that good. Kelsey's that good. Chris Jones is everything Nick isn't in the fourth. Nick Bosa in the fourth quarter. I don't have a rebuttal, and it's just, it sucks to have to swallow it. And we feel I feel like the Rockets sending an Excel spreadsheet with all of my like issues with the league. And it feels so lame because at the end of the day, you got the best player on the planet in Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, this is a feeling that you guys should be used to. I mean, it's not much different than Golden State over the course of the last decade. Like, we all appreciate Steph Curry, and he is the greatest shooter that we've ever seen. This past Olympics was the first time that I ever cheered for Steph Curry since he's joined the NBA. I loved him at Davidson, but once he became LeBron's rival and started winning championships, I mean, what you're describing is how the Rockets feel about the Warriors. Like, James Harden and Chris Paul should probably have 1 ring, but they happen to play the exact same time as the Golden State Warriors. Like, there is just those teams in the league that just, you have to go through them, and they just plant their flag as this is our time in the NFL, the same way that the Steelers did in the 70s or the Niners in the 80s or the Cowboys. Like, this is just the time of the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know how long it's going to go on. Maybe it's another 5 years. Maybe it's another 12 years. Eventually it will end. But the point is just, you got to gobble up as many championships. Yeah. The thing that's interesting to me about Kansas City, different than even the Brady era, is other people got rings during the Brady era. I mean, Peyton Manning won a championship. Aaron Rodgers won a championship. Russell Wilson won a championship during that. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, there's a handful of guys. No one else has won a championship in that conversation with Patrick Mahomes. Purdy doesn't have one. Lamar doesn't have one. Josh Allen. Like, my biggest question isn't really when the Chiefs' run is going to end. Is, hey, when do one of these quarterbacks under the age of 30 win a championship? The only one that has one is Patrick Mahomes.
No, that's a really good point there. I mean, and the only quarterback that's been able to beat Patrick Mahomes on the playoff stage has been Tom Brady, who's obviously not in the league anymore. Oh, I guess, yeah, Joe Burrow. So I guess in the Super Bowl stage, I guess I should say. But yeah, Brady and Burrow, the only two guys who have been able to figure him out. You know, so over here in San Francisco, obviously, you know, we watch Patrick Mahomes with, you know, with hatred, with respect, whatever, because he's just that good. But I'm curious, you know, we got a quarterback here that's kind of taken this region by storm in Brock Purdy. You know, 23 of 38 in the Super Bowl with a touchdown. Not the most electric performance that he's put out, but still, I thought he was not the reason why I thought the 49ers lost that Super Bowl. I'm just kind of curious, you know, when you look at Brock Purdy and just, you know, going from Mr. Irrelevant to where he's at right now, where he is on the cusp of signing a contract that could be paying him north of $60 million a year. How do you just, what are your overall thoughts right now of Brock Purdy and the job he's been doing with this team this year? He's scrambling a lot more. And if you saw the breaking news story, Brock Purdy signs a contract that'll pay him $60+ million a year. How would you react to that?
I actually like Brock Purdy. My feelings on the NFL, I would say over the course of the last 5 years have changed. And maybe that's just watching so much Patrick Mahomes. Like, we just beat this concept of it's a quarterback league, it's a quarterback league. And of course, like, you can't win without a quarterback. But if you look at all the teams that you would consider to be good in the league, they are balanced for the most part, and they can get stops and get off of the field. So I like what San Francisco is doing. Like, no one thinks that Brock Purdy is Josh Allen. No one thinks he's Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. But, I mean, you have a team that has a clear identity with their ability to run the football, whether it's with Christian McCaffrey, who I think is the best running back in the league, or Jordan Mason, who I think filled in really well. And then you put good parts and pieces around him that have allowed him to have success. And, I mean, if you look at the NFC right now, now, sure, everybody's high on Minnesota. Everybody's high on the Commanders right now, and I get it. But, I mean, San Francisco is probably still the team that you're going to have to go through in the NFC, and maybe Detroit. We'll see what they look like now after the Hayden Hutchinson injury. So the NFC, to me, is more intriguing than the AFC, just because one team has just dominated the AFC over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. You could make a case for 6 different teams in the NFC being the best team, and I wouldn't really push back on you. But I like Brock Purdy. I think he's a more than capable quarterback, and as long as they continue to be an offense that continues to stockpile and draft talent to keep them around Brock Purdy, I have no question that he will continue to work.
Carrington Harrison, The Drive, 96 The Fan in Kansas City, joins us right now. All right, so I'm looking at this team, and you guys have done such a great job just trading out pieces, drafting, developing. I mean, you draft the kid Xavier Worthy, and it feels like he's getting better every single week. Obviously, Rashee Rice injury is just huge. Pacheco draft, he's out. Huge injury. But you get Hunt to come in, and he's just, it's like he never missed a beat. You got Noah Gray stepping in, but Kelsey has a big bounce back week. I look at the defense. Chris Jones, Karlaftis, Bolton. I mean, you guys got so many playmakers, but you are decimated with injuries. Where are they at right now coming off the bye week?
That's a great question. I mean, I call it the wheel of misfortune that eventually is going to land on your team. I mean, you guys are dealing with it right now with Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I football is just a series of problem-solving events. You know, Brandon Ayuk unhappy with the deal. You got to figure that out. Then you lose Christian McCaffrey. Then you got to figure it out with Trent Williams. At least with Kansas City, I think at some point they're going to have to make a move at wide receiver. They just don't have nearly enough at wide receiver. Like, if you're telling me that you're counting on Juju Smith-Schuster to hold up from now until the end of the season, and you're counting on Justin Watson and Mecole Hardman, and this is going to get you to the Super Bowl, I think the answer is probably no. A lot of Chiefs fans want them to go get Amari Cooper. He's a name that's popped up a lot over the course of the last couple of weeks. I think we all identify that the Browns are done. They are maybe the worst team in the league. Deontay Johnson is a name that's come up over the course of the last couple of weeks, as well as a wide receiver that would make sense. Some people kind of have can they bring Tyreek Hill back? I don't think from a financial standpoint it makes a lot of sense for them to bring Tyreek back. But I think Chiefs fans have just, they are making the playoffs, and now it's about how do you position yourself where you can win 3-4 games in January and early February.
I mean, we talk about the receivers. I mean, I'm stunned that the NFL allowed Xavier Worthy to drop so far down that he could be paired up with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, just what are your thoughts on just the pairing that those two have had this year and the big play threat that Worthy has been for Mahomes?
It kind of stinks just because, you know, this offense hasn't been complete. So I think some of the kind of superpowers of Xavier Worthy has been neutralized just a little bit. But, I mean, in his first game, he scored 2 times on 3 touches. He had the big pass play a couple of weeks ago against the Los Angeles Chargers where it was just basically a streak route, just, hey, you're faster than everybody else. Mahomes is going to get it to you. I do think that he adds a bit of explosiveness to the Chiefs' offense that they just haven't had since the Tyreek Hill injury. Like, this offense, for as great as Patrick Mahomes is, he's near the bottom of the league in depth of target. Like, he's not really pushing the ball down the field and making a lot of those big plays. So a big reason is Xavier Worthy, like, bringing him in. The thing is funny because we were kind of talking about the overtime and the decision to take the ball first. I mean, they got Xavier Worthy from Buffalo. I just have a very simple rule in the NFL. I would never do anything that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid want me to do. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, the Chiefs want San Francisco to get the ball first so they know what they need to do when they get the ball. The Chiefs clearly wanted Xavier Worthy to be their team. I mean, draft Keon Coleman with that original pick and let Kansas City figure it out. But I'm not going to give you the tools to ultimately destroy us. It never made any sense to me.
All right, so, you know, you referenced Steph Curry earlier, and we've been very lucky to see his entire career, and our station has really, you know, we've benefited from it. My co-host usually does Warrior pre and post, and they were rock stars among rock stars during the KD era, but this guy's fame is on a whole nother level. I mean, it is, you just say Steph, and no one has a negative thing to say. That being said, we don't take a lot of Steph calls, just in general. For you, your career, covering the team, you talk to Patrick Mahomes every single week. A, how cool is that? And then B, how does he resonate with fans, especially on sports talk radio?
Yeah, I think it's just different just because Kansas City is just such a smaller place than San Francisco. I mean, you got to think Kansas City is like the 32nd media market. So the fact that you have the biggest American star, like, it would be like if Steph played in Milwaukee. Yeah, sure. Maybe he doesn't kind of get that buzz in San Francisco, but if he was in Milwaukee, like Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre, you know, it would be a really big deal. So I think that's it. It's actually funny because I would say over the course of the last year, I would say that Mahomes has kind of taken a backseat to Travis Kelce, that Kelce has just crossed over in such a way where He is now beyond a football player. He is a pop culture star at this point. You know, Taylor Swift has been to at least 10 Chiefs games over the course of the last half year. So Mahomes is clearly number one, but I would say over the last 12 months, it's become much more of a 1A, 1B than it was pre-Taylor Swift.
All right, so I'm kind of curious, Carrington, because I know you talk to Mahomes weekly. You talk to him today, right?
Yeah, it kind of depends. Sometimes we do it on Monday. Some days we do it on Tuesday. So it's a little 50-50. I know that he will be on the show this week at some point. I'm just not sure if it's today or tomorrow.
All right. So I got a question. This is for you, and then I was hoping maybe you could also ask him this question too, because I'd be curious what his answer was. But in either of these two Super Bowls that the Chiefs played against the Niners, was there a moment where in either of those two games where you thought, like, wow, like, the Niners really have the Chiefs on the ropes here, and if we don't do something, we're going to lose this game? Like, was there a moment in either of these two games where you thought that? And then I would really love it if you could maybe ask Patrick that same thing. Not like, did you ever think you were going to lose, but was there a moment where you thought, like, man, we're really kind of got our backs up against the wall here. If we don't do anything, this could be a very sad day if we don't do something.
I never had that feeling in the second Super Bowl just because I've seen the Chiefs do that so many times. You have to think, I mean, they've been down double digits in all four of the Super Bowls. They were down double digits in the first one, and that's when they get the big play on third down. They were down double digits to Tampa Bay. Now, they can come back in that game, but they were down big. They were down big against Philadelphia. They were down 10 at halftime. And then obviously last year. So I never had that feeling last year with them. I definitely had it in the first one. I mean, the Chiefs hadn't won the Super Bowl yet. And I mean, if you're down 20-10 with less than 10 minutes to go in the Super Bowl, you lose that game. Like, it's pretty crazy to think that the Chiefs were down 10 late in the game and still won the game by double digits. Like, the odds, the win probability, it just doesn't even factor in that the Chiefs were able to win that first Super Bowl. That's the one that San Francisco fans should be kicking themselves. Maybe not as much last year, because I think those final two drives for Mahomes, you can't play the quarterback position better than he did on those final two drives. Patrick did not play well in the first Super Bowl. That's the one that San Francisco fans should be thinking, we should have won that one.
I mean, they held him in check until like 8 minutes to go in the last one. I thought they did a great job considering all. But all right, Carrington, you got everybody's blood boiling here in San Francisco. So tell Chiefs fans we hate their guts and we wish them no luck ever. And we actually hope Taylor Swift's next album flops. But other than that, have a great day.
I would say, I think we all know her next album is going to fly. She could put out a spoken word album, and it's going to sell 2 million copies
That's true.
First week. And this is what I think has to burn San Francisco fans. You guys spend your time worried about a city that never thinks about you. Kansas City spends zero amount of time thinking about you. You guys should focus your efforts on other things.
All right, here's what I'm going to focus it on. Here's what I'm going to focus it on, all right? Let's do a bet, a friendly bet, you and me. All right, here's the bet. You guys win. We have Jerry Rice as a contributor to the station. All right. If you guys win this weekend, I'll do my best to get Jerry Rice to do a promo for your show. And then, you know, in whatever kind of way you want. So, hey, this is Jerry Rice. I hate the Chiefs, but you're listening to the Chiefs, blah, 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 blah. Something along those lines. But if we win, I need you to get Patrick Mahomes to do one for us.
Okay, you know what? Let me ask the Chiefs, because I'm guessing that Jerry will agree to this. Patrick, I think, would agree to it. I don't know if the Chiefs PR will let Patrick agree to this, but you know what? I will very happily ask Chiefs PR, and I will text you back to let you know.
Please do. Please do. You're a good sport. I hate your guts. I wish you no future fortune whatsoever, and I hope you guys die on Sunday.
Well, you know what? I'm just sitting back, you know. I got to see my team go to the baseball playoffs. You guys didn't get the opportunity to do that. I got a chance to go to the Super Bowl earlier this year and leave happy at the Super Bowl.
Just flush this guy. Flush him. Again. Just get him out of here. I love this guy. Carrington Harrison, we've got the bet. Lock it up in gold. And that was a great call, but sorry that the ending was not good. Not good at all. We love you, buddy. You need to contact Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain at flowingwater.net. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
I mean, he comes in with that.
He says they don't think about us at all. That's the part that's sick. Here's the line for me. The line for me that has me ready to explode. You aren't owned by the York family. You're owned by the Mahomes family.
It's brutal.
That is a line, you know,
the thing that
might hurt more than any other I've heard in such a long time.
I think the part that irritated me the most is when, you know, when I asked, you know, was there any moment where you thought, oh, no, we might lose this? He's like, no, not really.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network,
T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's just like
full of crap.
The confidence to be able to say something like that, whether it's true or not, to be able to have that level of confidence. Like, Shasky, during that entire second half and overtime, like, were you thinking, man, we got this? We might be able to get this? Was there ever a moment where you're like, oh, we got this locked up? No, you were a miserable wreck the entire time. I know this because I was staring at you almost the entire time because I wanted to gauge your guys' emotions. Like, to have that confidence, yeah, we were down by 10, but, you know, I figured, you know, we got Mahomes. We'll figure out a way. My God, that must be nice to have that kind of confidence.
It's the way we view Steph Curry.
Yeah, Warriors are down by 30. Oh, well, Steph's checking back in, so, you know, night-night.
Are you surprised that Kelce is 1A, 1B to him?
Not really, because he mentioned it. The Taylor Swift effect is big. Like, that's a massive fan base that's latching onto him. Like, if those two ever break up, he will lose that 1A status. But, like, you got your Mahomes fans, you got, you know, your Kelce fans, then you got your Kelce fans that were Swifties. So that's, he's got a big fan base backing him that, you know, Patrick Mahomes just doesn't have.
I can't believe this. A great football weekend. The Niners win on Thursday night. They beat the Seahawks. Huge win. They get back to 3-3. All right, boom. We're back on track. We're ready to go. You get all weekend to kind of take a deep breath, watch college football on Saturday, watch Texas handle Oklahoma and all the other crazy games that were going
Oregon,
on.
Oregon, Ohio State, very fun one.
Ohio State, not understand clock management.
Pull the Dak.
Sunday, you get to see Jacksonville implode again. You get to watch the rest of the NFC kind of be chaotic, if we're being honest. Tampa Bay looks good. I'm not sure on Atlanta, but like their record is 4-2, so we'll see. And then I look at the North and I'm like, wow, best division in football. Now, the Bears have a last place schedule and they're handling business, but every week Caleb's getting better. Green Bay, I fear Green Bay. They got playmakers. Any game, they could drop 40 on you.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Minnesota and I look at Detroit. I think Detroit is a bully and a juggernaut. Though I just read an article, Aiden Hutchinson has a rod in his leg and he's going to miss at least 8 months.
And that's gonna be a massive impact on that defense.
Huge, but they're still a bully. And then I look at the Vikings. The Vikings handled the Niners. Now, I'd like to have a second chance against them, but they handled us.
That defense plays.
Absolutely. I'm looking at the East. Philly is still a work in progress. Jaden Daniels, he's a rookie. So, I don't know. We'll see. NFC is wide open. Yeah. And if the Niners can win this game against the Chiefs, I mean, it's a signature-like victory for them.
It'll be a massive boost for them that they need. I mean, at the end of the day, this could be an AFC win. The Niners need to start stacking NFC wins, but those will come in time. But to your point, Joe, I mean, looking around the rest of the division, yeah, the NFC North is stacked from top to bottom right now. And unfortunately, the Niners got to play the entire NFC North this year. They got to go to Green Bay, which, you know, playing there, it's not going to be the frozen tundra, but it will be a brisk November afternoon there. And the Packers, I mean, they were giving the Niners the business in the divisional round last year. You know, the Niners, they were able to pull that out at the end. They got some clutched defense towards the end of that game. But Brock looked very shaky early on in that game. Now, hopefully that doesn't happen again. The Bears, it feels like the Bears are going to be like a box of chocolates every week. You never know what you're going to get. You know, that's what happens when you have a rookie quarterback. You can probably say the same thing with the Commanders too. There's going to be those weeks where Jane Daniels is absolutely phenomenal, but he was really good yesterday and the Commanders still lost because that Washington defense is not a playoff defense. So NFC looks very, very scary right now. When I look at if the playoffs were starting today though, the only teams I would be truly worried about the Niners running into are probably the Lions and the Bucks right now, though.
I'm going to give the Vikings BOD benefit of the doubt because what they did to the Niners impressed me.
Well,
it means anything.
What they did last year too. No, I'm just
trying to give them the benefit.
Especially if the Niners have to go to Minnesota, that would be very tough. Yeah.
So the Lions, it's interesting you bring them up. And Kenny on the board, get ready for this one. Yesterday was the worst home loss of the Dallas Cowboys in the history of Jerry Jones being an owner, Mike McCarthy on the hot seat. Nothing is happier for Niner fans after a victory on Thursday night over Seattle than to watch the Dallas Cowboys get blown up. And here is Jerry Jones in the postgame defending his head coach, Mike McCarthy.
What would it take you to evaluate making a head coaching change in season?
Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. Just so you're clear, not considering that.
But you've done it once before.
I wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you? Okay, well, I'm not going to hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
Okay, I don't think he's an idiot. You don't get that much money by being an idiot. I do think he's stubborn. And I do think he's going to go down with the ship when it comes with McCarthy, and we're all better for it.
I mean, NFL in-season NFL head coaching changes, you know, teams probably like to avoid those just in general. I don't know the last time that the Cowboys had an in-season coaching change. I think it was when they hired Jason Garrett, when they elevated him to the head coach.
They fired Wade Phillips, so I don't know.
Elevated Jason Garrett. I think that's the last time, which I think about maybe, 10 years ago, something like that. So somewhat recent. But listen to Jerry talk there. It's just like, bro, who are you trying to convince? You trying to convince that reporter? You trying to convince us? You trying to convince yourself? Like, the amount of times he said, I am not thinking about making a change at quarterback or a change at head coach, it makes me feel like you're thinking about making a change at head coach. Like, that's a little bit of reverse projection there.
Let's wait till after the Niner game to make that head coach change, because I would love to see the Niners face them. I'm so pumped up for this.
The Niners
are
the team that makes Jerry do the about face and absolutely just finally put Mike McCarthy out the pasture.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got some Philadelphia. I don't know if you guys know this. Some stuff was happening in Philadelphia where the crowd was chanting for the head coach to be fired, only to have the coach smack talk the fans after winning like he was in a WWE wrestling event.
Nick Sirianni is like, he is straight out of an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, it is only in Philly would you see fans booing a coach during a win and the coach talking smack. Like, Niner fans and Kyle Shanahan in his flat brim hat would never.
Never. And here is Nick Sirianni in postgame.
It looked like you were interacting with some fans at the end of the game. What was going on?
No, just excited. Just excited to get the win.
Were fans yelling things at you from the...
Just excited to get the win.
So he's got his kids up at the podium. For those that didn't see it, let me give you paint the picture here. He's got his kids up at the podium, and he should be getting taken to task by the local media. But instead, and this is the way I perceived it, he's using his children as a meat shield to keep the heat from being on him. You what? You think I'm joking? He's using his children as a meat shield, like in a hostage situation, so that he doesn't get taken to task by the local media. I mean, Sirianni's a clown.
No, hiding behind your kids like that and then dodging the question when you're clearly talking smack to your own fan base that wants, you know, your head on a spike right now. I mean, this is the same thing. Well, we were laughing at him last year, you know, 94WIP, our friends out there. They were going to have Nick Sirianni that morning, and the poll question that day was, should the Eagles just fire Nick Sirianni? Like, could you, like, we go hard on Steve Kerr at times here. Like, could you ever imagine, you know, like Willard and Dibbs, hey, you know, hey, everyone, we got Steve Kerr joining us here today at 5 o'clock. Should Steve Kerr be fired? Like, no Willard and Dibbs show will ever, ever sound like that. Like, that's how crazy they are out there. It's a different level. But yeah, to use your kids in that situation, like, come on, man. Like, just put the clown makeup on already and complete the look.
Did he give an explanation as to why his children were there? Like, did anyone ask him directly about that? I would love to know, because to me, that's just...
How often does that happen? I'd like to know. Is it after wins that the kids get to go onto the podium with them?
Well, I just think there's a time and a place, right? Like, so to me, like, I'm all about the kids. I post nothing but pictures of my son and whatnot, but there's also times where you have to get serious. And like, it's one thing if we're having fun or whatever, like, there's only 17 games a year. And so for 17 of those post games, it's not like the NBA. In the NBA, right, like, when you play 80 games, 100 games, hey, one of those, like, ho-hum games against the Grizzlies, yeah, you can bring your kids up there. It's not a big deal.
Let's not forget how Riley Curry burst onto the scene when she stole the show during Steph's postgame pressers during the Western Conference Finals against the Rockets. I mean, after all those wins, she was up on the stage up there. So, I mean, in the playoffs, that's one thing. But, like, come on a regular season game like that, yeah, it feels a little excessive.
Well, again, there's just the inventory, the amount of inventory, and just, like, the demand from everyone. All right, let's go out to DJ and Pinole. He's got a question about Brock Purdy regarding Dak Prescott. I'm very, very intrigued by this one. DJ, what do you got here on Brock Purdy, 49ers, and Cowboys?
Gentlemen, I just want to say your conversation about the Eagles and their internal problems, just it lifts my heart on a Monday morning. Second of all, I just want to point out, if Dak is getting paid $60 million for a showcase implosion choke job like that, I think it's fair to assume that Brock Purdy is going to get paid enough to bankrupt the 49ers.
Probably.
Why do you say that?
$60 million, and that's the best that $60 million can...
Hello? DJ? I guess he's gone. Well, here's what I would say to you. I think the Dallas Cowboys have done a poor job drafting and developing around him. Look at the Niners' win the other night. They had Isaac Garendo. He was a middle-round draft pick. They had Renardo Green, second-round draft pick. Malik Mustafa, middle-round draft pick. Dominic Pooney, starter, middle-round draft pick. All of those guys balling. Oh, and by the way, their seventh-round draft pick, Juwan Jennings. The Cowboys have drafted well in early rounds. It's the middle to late rounds. And you know what's killing the Cowboys right now? They can't run the ball. They got Zeke Elliott as their running back. So I still have faith in them. There's a lot of situations around the league that have $50, $60 million quarterbacks, and they have playmakers around them. You have to draft and develop and financially choose wisely.
Need that depth, absolutely. I mean, look, they got Micah Parsons out right now, and you see what that happens, their defense, when they lose him.
And Detroit's good.
Yeah, Detroit's got – I mean, we've been talking about the Aiden Hutchinson thing. I've been saying it's going to impact the defense. Like, there's going to be a drop-off. You don't lose a guy like Aiden Hutchinson and have no drop-off. But Detroit, I think, is still good enough overall around the rest of their team where they'll still be able to be afloat without Hutchinson there. But with the Cowboys, I mean, you know, was it DJ? He talks about, you know, the contract that you're going to see Brock Purdy be getting here. I mean, when Dak signed that contract, I'll be honest, my heart kind of sank a little bit because I'm thinking, the price on Brock just went up. And
we'll see.
I mean, I don't like to get all, you know, sad about like a billionaire having to spend money on a player and whatnot. But, you know, obviously there are real consequences that teams have to deal with when they give so much money to the quarterback. But to your point, Krzyzewski, you brought up all the young guys though, and how much better the Niners are at finding guys. That's why I don't worry about it as much as maybe I would have maybe a couple months ago, because Kyle Shanahan, for as much as we love to crush him, you know, one thing we know for a fact he does well, he finds dudes.
He finds
dudes in the draft. He finds dudes who are cost-effective. Like, we're seeing Talanoa Hufanga this year. It's been rough this year with him. I don't know what his future is like if they bring him back or if they let him go. If they do let him go, I mean, honestly, they got Malik Mustafa stepping in right there showing, hey, there is going to be life in that safety spot if Hufanga leaves, a guy who we've all come to know and love over these last few years. And that's just one of it. I mean, Charvarius Ward, for whatever season he's having this year, if he moves on, I'm feeling a lot better about Renardo Green moving forward. And that's just based off one game. There's still a lot more development from him to come. So, yeah, that's the big difference there. Dak, he signed that money. CD, he signed that money. And the Cowboys, they're going to be spinning in circles because of it for a while. I don't think the 49ers are going to have that problem.
All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1 in San Francisco, in Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. All right, let me just rat-a-tat-tat some of my thoughts from the weekend regarding the NFL, just the NFL as a whole. Chargers defense, boy, it sure feels really good. Now, they've played a lot of bad teams, but they're number one in EPA, expected play averages. And then I'm looking at the Dallas-Detroit fallout from that game. Detroit, huge win. And they were throwing the ball all over the place. I don't know if you watched late. They had linemen making plays, and they kept trying to throw to linemen. And Dan Campbell was like really trying to run up the score on the Dallas Cowboys. And then, obviously, they lose Hutchinson. That is a huge, huge, huge loss. Now Dallas. I don't know what to make of them. I still feel like they're a fringe, if not get-in playoff team. But let's see. Let's see what happens. I think the Niners could really crush them.
Then I look at it. I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off there. I don't think the Cowboys are a playoff team. They just don't look like it. They don't look the part. I think there's too much traffic they're going to have to weave in and out of if they want to get into the playoffs. The NFC, I mean, the NFC is deep this year. I mean, you got the NFC North, which has four playoff-looking caliber teams. NFC South, the Falcons, are they Super Bowl contenders? No. Are they a team that's absolutely going to be playing for a playoff spot come December and January? They definitely will be. I mean, the Saints, yeah, they're probably dead in the water, but the Bucks, they're certainly there. The Seahawks, they're good enough, I think, to hover around that 9-8 territory, which is where that, you know, 6-7 seeds are going to be, which is where Dallas is going to have to fight through. And keep in mind, Dallas has to deal with Washington, and right now, the way Dallas's defense is beat up, I don't feel comfortable about them taking on that Washington offense. And the Eagles, I think they're good enough to also put the hurt on the Cowboys. So, Cowboys playoff team, right now, I'm putting them stone cold out of the playoffs.
I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, like, in the NFC, if the Niners could just get on a little win streak here, we're right where we need to be. Yeah, I would have loved to be the number one seed. There's no doubt about it. Of course, would I like to be undefeated right now? Of course I would. Who wouldn't want to be undefeated? But last year we played our best ball, maybe the first 5 weeks of the season, and it felt like we kind of lost a step after the Baltimore game.
See, I don't think the one seed's necessary this year. I know we wanted to do it last year because the whole conversation, at least on this show, was Operation Get the One Seed, because that way Philly has to come here and deal with our crowd and deal with our noise and deal with our nonsense. That's what the impetus for that was, and it ended up working out. I mean, we got to host the Lions and got to watch one of the all-time NFC Championship comebacks happen on our home field as a result. But this year, looking around at the NFC playoff field, none of these teams really, like, super worry me in a playoff matchup. Lions, they'll test the Niners. The Bucks, they'll test the Niners. If the Niners have to go to Minnesota, that might be the toughest situation there, but that wouldn't happen till later in the playoffs. The Vikings still have to win their games too to get there. So as far as the Niners overall plays in the NFC right now, even if before this win on Sunday, or before this game on Sunday, I want to get ahead of myself here, like, I still feel good about where the Niners stand in the NFC.
I do too.
Overall, like, top to bottom, they look like the team that is most equipped to handle a playoff run.
Absolutely. And I think,
even if they have to go on the road,
I think the NFC West isn't that good. I mean, if Seattle's the best team coming out of the West, I think we're in a good spot. And I saw the point differential for the NFC West just in general, and it's right here. I'm going to pull it up. The freaking Niners are a plus 34. Plus 32. Seattle is a minus 4. The Cardinals are a minus 30, and the Rams are a minus 45. So as far as I'm concerned, the division is not good at all, the NFC West. So the Niners just need to pretty much stay the course, get healthy, get CMC back at some point, praying to gosh, and start clicking. And the best of the defense is still to come. I think once they get Greenlaw back and you got all these young guys making contributions, you're going to see a completely different defense. Let's go out to TC and Sack. TC, step right up, man. What you got on the 49ers?
Hashtag Zion, a white one. Hello?
Yo.
Yes, sir. What's up, bro?
What's up, buddy?
What's up, brother? It's TC.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, man, top of the morning, man. Hey, listen.
What's up, TC? I'm here, too.
Okay, you know what? My bad, brother. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, TC. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. Hey, so look, check it out. Hey, so what I gotta say on that one, brother, the Chiefs and the Niners, the Niners have to win for their psyche, right? They have to get over this hump with the Chiefs. So this is a big game for the Niners. Not as much as the Chiefs, but more for the Niners, because it's for their psyche. Also, as far as Brock, bro, Brock's going to get paid, guys. Like, Brock's not going to get paid $90 million, $100 million a year. He's not, bro. He's not. We're not going to go off a Dak Prescott contract or any of that. Brock is going to get his money. Best and believe that, because you know one reason he's going to get his money? Because when it comes down to if it's Brock or Kyle, bro, this team is going to pick Brock, dude. He's a stud quarterback, and he's on the up and up, period, point blank. So as far as him getting his money and all that and him being on the team, he's going to be here, bro. As far as Kyle Shanahan, that's another story. But don't trip. Brock is going to get his money, but it's not going to be $90 million a year. That's
I think they're going to make sweet love together. I mean, I think they're making sweet music currently together. So, TC and Zach, we like the phone call. We appreciate it. We got Dalton Johnson coming up after the break. Talk a little Warriors and then get right back into the NFL. Let's go to Vince and Martinez. Vince, what do you got on the NFC landscape?
So I heard you guys talking about places that you would want to go or you weren't worried about, but what in a scenario where you guys got to go to Lambeau, and we know Brock doesn't love throwing in that kind of weather. Like, did you see him really pulling off a win in Lambeau under pressure? Degree, you know, in the teens, stuff like that. Do you think Brock could pull that off?
Well, the only reason that I say that they can is because I watched Jimmy Garoppolo in the offense not score an offensive touchdown and beat an Aaron Rodgers offense, which was one of, you know, his MVP seasons. So, look, I've seen my Niners in recent memory go and into that area in adverse condition, and they play a physical brand of football. It's very unique. Like, when you run the ball the way that they do, you don't necessarily need to throw it around the yard 45 times. But I think the bigger thing is I see the NFC North, and I know today all four teams feel like playoff teams. Three will probably get in, and that would mean that one of these teams is going to be a bottom feeder on the road.
Well,
right?
Someone's going to get beaten up in that division
exactly.
As well.
I do fear the Chiefs, though. I'll admit it. I mean, not the Chiefs, the Packers, excuse me. I do fear. I think that their best football is yet to come.
Oh, absolutely. But I think they're beatable this year still. I will see it a couple weeks when the Niners go to Lambeau. That'll be the good early test. Because, you know, he brings up a good point there, Vince. Brock Purdy in the cold weather or in the rainy weather, there's still some question marks there. Yeah. So, anyway, we got to get out of here.
All right, that's what's coming up. We're going to get into a little bit of Dalton Johnson, quick little Warrior talk, and that's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking. No compromises.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins, all on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.